You are listening to Foul Tips, your weekend podcast to catch you up on the week that was in the world of baseball. Let's do it.
Well, all right. What's this? Episode 6 of Foul Tips, the weekend edition of the 1420 Sports Podcast, the all baseball edition of the podcast. I'm your host, Brent Rudlinski. For those of you who tune in all the time, you guys know that. For those of you tuning in for the first time, thank you very much. It's a weekend little show I do by myself. Weekends are getting a bit busy, but we still get into it a little bit and get to talking about baseball, what's going on in the major leagues. We're brought to you by Bud Light, the beer that never fills you up and never lets you down. Of course, it's unofficial. We're still looking for a sponsor, but anyways, tonight we're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs and what happened since their World Series victory in 2016. We'll chat about the first half of Major League Baseball season. We'll do it today in baseball history in my lifetime. And I want to thank Rob Manfred to listen to Foul Tips a couple weeks ago. He's taken my advice. He listened to the show, obviously, or someone at the Ivory Towers in Manhattan listened to Foul Tips, because they're taking my advice for the 2022 season. So before much further ado, let's get into her. Well, okay, you know you hit the big time when Rob Manfred, during his State of the Union address last Monday before the All-Star weekend began, or Tuesday, whatever, before the game, whatever he said, made it pretty clear everything that I said in the 1420 podcast or on Foul Tips last weekend, that baseball is a little bit broken. They need to make some changes. And he reiterated exactly what I said here on Foul Tips. And it's pretty simple. Yeah, baseball's getting it's getting a little bit lame for us diehard fans, but the way they've changed things drastically, I think, in the last 10 years is taking fans away, are things we've talked about, obviously. And Manfred came out and flat out said they're considering, they haven't flat out come out and said it yet, but eliminating 7-inning doubleheaders, which I talked about last week, how it takes away from a fan experience. You might go into your first game, it changed the game completely. It's not baseball. It's just not. So they're going to get rid of that. They're removing the runner at second base in extra innings, changes the game. Yeah, hockey has it where they play a 3-on-3. I get that. But baseball, you bunt the guy over this and that. Yeah, you can play the game differently. But that's too drastic a change for me. It changes how the game's played for the first 9 innings completely. In hockey, you can have a 3-on-3. Doesn't happen very often because penalties don't work that way. But in baseball, it changed the game too much, too drastically. Get rid of the guys second base to start the extra innings. And the one I've been talking about for a long, long time now, Dave might not like this, but talking about banning the shift or altering how they're going to ban it or change the way the shift is played. Rob Manfred, Robbie Manz, as I call you, behind closed doors, thank you very much for listening to Foul Tips, the 1420 podcast edition. It's greatly appreciated. Baseball fans across the nation who love this game see that it's a little bit broken and they're trying to change it too drastically, and you're losing fans on both ends of things because of it. You're losing the historians, you're losing the diehards, and then because you lose those people, you're not bringing new people in, because it takes the old crowd to bring the new crowd in. And I don't think I'm wrong on that. People will disagree with me, but I don't think I'm wrong on that. But anyways, Robbie Manz, thank you for banning the shift, 17 doubleheaders, and starting a runner at second base. There's a few other things we can talk about later on that we'll talk about later on tonight, but those are huge to bring back the people, the game of baseball. So Robbie Manz, thank you very much. Anyways, some other things that we can talk about that kind of started to bother me a little bit. And I watched the Cubs, and that 2016 World Series was something to behold. The Cleveland Indians were, 61 years between winning a World Series. The Cubs, everybody knows, was 108, I think it was. And it was forever and ever. And it breaks my heart to see how the Cubs have gone back to the lovable losers again in such a short period of time. And it bothers me so much. It bothers me now that you win a championship, you don't try to win championships, extra ones, more than one. That team in Chicago I thought they were built to win a few. Yeah, it was a tough seven-game grind against Cleveland in 2016, and I hope Cleveland wins one in my lifetime as well. But that grind that they had was – it was tough. And that World Series was the second most entertaining one I've seen in my lifetime, next to the 2001 World Series of the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. That Game 7 was unreal. The Grandpa Rossi hit the home run after being a little bit off, and then – the rain delay and all of it. And Chris Bryant throwing the ball to Rizzo at first base, slipping and almost giving it up and everything else. The whole thing was just a great World Series, how it was 3-1, and the Cubs came back and won. If you've ever seen the Eddie Vedder video, Someday We'll Go All the Way, about the Cubs World Series and the whole thing and how there's then the ESPN videos and everything else. It was such a great World Series. But it breaks my heart how, I don't want to say they gave up, but they didn't keep going. And now they're dismantling that team already. Ross is already the manager the year after, 2 years after he became the manager of the Cubs now. And he hasn't had a good run. And I just talked about Rizzo. I just talked about Bryant, how they were youngsters on that team. And now they're going to get paid. They're going to get big contracts, some probably somewhere else. Javi Baez, somewhere else. It's sad. It's sad that dynasties don't happen anymore. Because, man, it was being a Yankee guy, watching those teams win a lot. It's fun to watch and your team get behind that. And people love to see. I think people love dynasties because you want to beat that team. You want to see it somebody else dethrone the champion. And the way the Cubs have built this. Oh, what I don't want to call it an empire, except the evil empire will come in. But the way they built this Wrigleyville, how it is, and now how it's expanding and everything else. If they win the World Series, are they doing that outside Wrigley now? There's hotels coming up. There's shopping coming up. It's not the old Wrigleyville that I saw a couple of years back in 2017. I went there after the year they won the World Series. And Wrigleyville's great if you get a chance to go. The Cubby Bear is a great bar. Murphy's is a great bar. Slugger's, great bar. They're all great spots. But now they're expanding and they're making it more modern around Wrigley. Would they have been able to do that without that World Series revenue that came in, without all the hoopla that came about being a Cubs fan? I think it was great. I think it sucks that the way baseball is now, that it seems like owners, they know they have a license to print money, and they aren't going for more than one championship or going for any at all. And the Cubs getting the one, was that enough? Was that enough for the Checkets family? I think it doesn't matter. Who cares? But is one World Series enough? And are you going to go another 108 years without doing another? Because before you know it, years can go by. You look at Toronto, it's been 93. Just do the math. That's 28 years. 28 years, and all of a sudden you'll be 30 years, you'll be 40 years, you'll be 50 years before you have one. And it can go quick. And I think these owners aren't putting the funds into it. Yes, COVID happened this year and everything else, and I get it. But you look at the team like the Mets, they got the multi-billionaire owner. He's not dumping money in, and trade deadline's coming up. And I don't think that these guys are spending money because they don't need to. The stadiums are full again after COVID. TV deals are TV deals. They're making nothing but money. Yes, the players are getting rich too, so we're not getting into that. But it just makes me sad that a team like the Chicago Cubs, who does pretty well, I'm fairly certain, are letting go of guys like the two last guys who touched that baseball in that 2016 Game 7. Chris Bryant picked up a ground ball at third base and he threw it to Rizzo. Bryant almost slipped. Rizzo caught it, put the ball in his back pocket, and he gave it to the owners at the parade in Chicago on that Friday afternoon, I think it was. And so those guys should be part of Chicago history and should retire as Cubs. And they're being shopped around. That would never happen. And it's not a Steinbrenner thing. And yeah, the money's a little bit different. I get it. But I think that these owners have to show a little bit more I don't know the word I'm looking for, a little more compassion when it comes to a player, and the other players have to do it too. Loyalty is the word I'm looking for. A little more loyalty has to be shown on both sides. You win a World Series, you should stay with that team after your big contract or your first contract. Like, it's just, I think it's only fair on both ends if they stay there. Why wouldn't you want to retire a Cub? Like, why wouldn't Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and these guys retire Cubs? Because they'll name streets and schools after you. I've said it before, that you win a championship, there's nothing quite like that. And the way the Cubs dismantled their franchise, I mean, Theo Epstein, he left on his own recognizance, did whatever he had to do. He's got a different job inside baseball, obviously. He's a very smart man. I mean, that guy's going to Hall of Fame. He won a World Series with the Red Sox, then he goes to the Cubs. He broke a lot of streaks. It saddens me a little bit that these guys who should be all-time Cubs might win something somewhere else. And these guys should be known as Cubs, like Ernie Banks and Ryan Sandberg and whoever else you want to put out there. It's sad. It's sad to see, but it happens. And I guess it's the business of baseball. But that World Series in 16, watch the Eddie Vedder video. I'll put it up on Foul Tips and everything else and all our social media accounts. But it breaks my heart the way that team has been dismantled. And a lot of these guys won't be there. It's only been 5 years. 5 years and already all gone. And it's sad to see what the Yankee guys, the core four, stayed around for a long time. Maybe a little bit too long, but that's another story for another day. Anyways, thank you for listening to the 1420 Podcast. Thanks for listening to Foul Tips. We appreciate putting these shows out for you. Summertime, she's a busy time of year. I've had a lot of fun umpiring and getting away from the microphone and the computer a little bit, being out in the field, going to watch baseball games again. Let us know what you think about the show. Follow up on Facebook and Twitter, wherever you want, and we're everywhere you get your podcast. I do a little bit of research on the for Foul Tips, the weekend edition of the 1420 Sports Podcast. I do the this day in baseball history in my lifetime. So I like to think if I remember seeing it when I was a kid or in my teenage years or my 20s or 30s, now into my mid to late 40s. I like to know if I remember these things and if I recall seeing them. Here's one I actually do remember for some reason. When we first got cable in Fort McLeod in about 82, and there was a Sunday, the game of the week and everything else, and you got the highlights and everything else. And Tony Gwynn, Mr. Padre, obviously. Anyways, this day in baseball history, on July 19th, 1982, Tony Gwynn collected his first two hits as he goes 2-for-4 with a sac fly in the Padres' 7-6 loss to the Phillies at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. Gwynn ended his career with 3,141 hits to rank 20th all-time. If that man would have played anywhere else in the big leagues, he would have been a bigger star than he was. That guy could hit flat-out hit. Super personality, super guy. That grin, everything else. What a player Tony Gwynn was. He plays anywhere. Anywhere else, he's a megastar. Not that he wasn't, but man, oh man, that guy was personality ridden. If you get it, like I've said before on the podcast, if you get a chance to go to Petco, they have a statue of Tony Gwynn there, and he's idolized in San Diego to this day. Mr. Padre, no, there's no doubt about it. He's an all-time great throughout the major leagues. The way that guy could put bat to ball, didn't foul very, felt like he didn't miss many pitches. He fouled off everything he couldn't put a strike on. I wish I could knew more of his stats, because I remember watching him play and it was such an easy stroke. It wasn't for power, but he would just push the ball here and there and play it around the field. Tony Gwynn was an all-time great. So this day in baseball history, Tony Gwynn got his first two hits en route to 3,141 hits. Tony, going to have a beer for you tonight, and congratulations on a great career, and I hope you're looking at the game of baseball. Don't look down on it. I hope you're looking and watching the game of baseball, because it's still pretty fantastic. We're well past the halfway point of the season, but we're only a week into the second half of the season, the way baseball does it. Why they can't alter the All-Star game to be at the halfway point of the season, I will never understand that, but that's how they do things. Anyways, there's 13 teams that are actually out of it, have no chance at a wild card, no chance at a playoff spot. 13 teams, go through them. Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, the Angels, Texas, Miami, Washington. Washington might can stick around. Cubs, Cards, Pittsburgh, Colorado, and Arizona. Not a chance. They're done. You'll see five or six more teams by August 1st, maybe seven. So you got 10, 11 teams might have a playoff race. Man, it gets pretty thin, 30-team league, and you already got 13 out. And by, like I said, by August 1st, you got a lot more guys out of the or teams out of the playoff race, and that includes the wild card. The Yankees are hanging in there. They don't. They might get a wild the second wild card spot. They don't win the division. As we get to that, I don't think you'll see out of the six wild or division leads right now, Boston's in, Chicago's in, and Houston's in. They're not giving up their division leads. They're just not. Atlanta, I think, might. They might overtake the Mets in the NL East. And I think you might see the Dodgers because they're just the Dodgers. They've been so great. And the Giants have been playing a bit over their heads. But if they can keep it going, you never know. But the Dodgers will overtake the Giants. And like I said, I think the Atlanta will overtake the Mets in the East. So four out of six divisions are already over with. Not a lot of intrigue going to be left. Maybe a couple of wild card spots here and there. But baseball for a lot of cities, it's all over already. People will still go because going to watch baseball games is the greatest thing in the world. So hope you guys still get to go. Hope you still go to watch games because it's still a lot of fun even if your team doesn't win. And you know what? Going to games where you don't have a horse in a race or a dog in the fight, it's still a lot of fun. Going to a different city, a different stadium, that's more fun than anything else. Going to the venues outside of the bars. Going to the venues and bars outside of the stadiums is probably the most fun of the whole event. So go to games. Don't, if your team's out, maybe go somewhere else. If you're in the Midwest, if you have listeners in Michigan, Indiana, here and there and everywhere else, take a drive and go watch a game somewhere else. Going to give you my thoughts on who's going to win at the halfway point, who's probably going to lead the award winners and go into the end of the season, who probably the leader at the halfway point. MVP in the American League, it's Ohtani. He's leading the major leagues. Vladdy, unless he can do a triple crown, which he's close. Ohtani's going to get it slightly over Vladdy, just for the sake of just because he's a great player. He's doing something no one's ever done before in our lifetime. Don't say Babe Ruth, because no one's around Babe Ruth is alive. But Ohtani's doing something we've never seen before. So he at the clubhouse turn, he's probably the leader for the American League. And in the National League, I'm going to give it to Tatis Jr. Yeah, his glove isn't great. He does make a lot of errors. I think he's leading the National League in errors at shortstop. But he's a 40-40 guy. He's an electric player. He's bringing the not by himself, but the Padres with the Machado. And I'd be remiss to not bring up what those boys went through on Saturday night with the guns and the violence outside of Washington, D.C. I don't know enough about it. I just know that Machado and Tatis were leading people into the dugout to hide them from the gun violence that was going on outside Washington Nationals Park. Don't know enough about it, so I'm not going to mention it, but way to go, Tatis and Machado. But that's my two MVP candidates. For Manager of the Year, at the turn, I'm probably going to go with Cora. I don't want to say it, but the guy does manage that team in Boston very well. They are head and shoulders that they were the worst team. You can't count the Baltimore Orioles because they're just the worst team in the AL East for a long time to come. But they were terrible last year, and Cora came in, turned the team around. Yeah, they added some players, subtracted some guys, but Cora's right there to be the manager for the American League. The Red Sox are the Red Sox, and they're back to normal again. They had a little bit of a rough weekend. And Cora should shut his yap about thinking the Yankees were cheating. That they weren't cheating. There was some fan in the stands with his freaking camera phone or a laser pointer or something. They weren't cheating. I've been up in those seats up there. You can't pay attention to what's going on in the game. It was not cheating. So anybody thinks that was cheating, that's just clickbait. That's all that was on the Sunday baseball game. That was clickbait. That's all that was. Trust me. Nobody up there is paying attention to what's going on in the game. Anyway, so Cora, shut your yap, but you're a great manager. And with those who live in glass houses, throw stones or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. And I got to go with Gabe Kapler in San Francisco. The way the Giants, I think they're going to regress. They're playing over their heads. But the way that they're the best record in baseball right now, the Giants. So I'm going to give Kapler at the turn, give him the manager of the year in the National League. Wow. Like you're doing it, man. Just keep running with it. You got a good ball club there. I don't think you'll hold off the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the Dodgers, so they'll more than likely win the division even without that piece of scum, Trevor Bauer. And that story's gone silent, hey. So and he hired some pretty high-end lawyers, so he can't be in a good spot right now. But anyways, we won't talk about that. We talked about that a couple weeks back on the Foul Tips podcast. But we got to go with Gabe Kapler and Alex Cora for Manager of the Year. And for the Cy Young, Lance Lynn, who apparently wasn't going to pitch for the Yankees a few years back. He went there for a little bit. He's 9-3, 1.99 ERA, having himself a great year. He's signed himself a $38 million extension for his 2 years, plus a buyout and everything else. So he's getting paid. He's only making $8 million, I think, this year. Only. We can only all make $8 million here. Wouldn't it be fun? But anyways, Lance Lynn for the Chicago White Sox, have himself a hell of a season. So he's my American League Cy Young Award winner of the turn. And what can you say about Jacob DeGrom? The guy's got a 1 point. I don't even know what 1.03 or what. Doesn't even matter. It's just above one right now. He's got some arm problems. I'm a little concerned with. It seems every week after he throws or a bullpen session, he gets a little bit tight, a little bit tender. But I'm going to go with DeGrom. He's an MVP candidate too. He's flat out probably the best player in baseball. The way he excels at his position more than anybody else does. So I got DeGrom and Lynn for the Cy Young. Anyways, I got back doing. I'm up eight now on the beat the streak. I took Vladdy Jr. tonight and I turned it off. I turned the Jays game off. They were down 8-0 in the first. It was 11-0 when I turned it off. So I don't know what's going on there. So took Vladdy Jr. I'm at eight now on beat the streak. So I hope I keep that going and maybe win a couple of bucks on that, or maybe just beat my all-time personal best. Anyways, thank you very much for listening to the 1420 podcast weekend edition of the show. We call it Foul Tips. It's all baseball all the time. Got a lot of stuff going on. If you guys listen to this throughout the week, there's two games at Spitz that I'm involved in Lethbridge. Come boo the umpire and have a good time because I enjoy it. I barely hear what's going on, but it's a lot of fun seeing people at the ballpark again. Had a good weekend on the field this in Strathmore this weekend, doing some midget AAA or AA or whatever it was. Some younger guys. It was good to get to the grassroots of baseball again and everything else. But getting out in the field with the WCBL Wednesday and Thursday this week in Lethbridge. I don't know who's playing. Doesn't matter. It's but come out and watch the umpire cheer the umpire on. We don't get there very often. Anyways, as always, take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself and need you around. Keep your stick on the ice and don't swing at the high ones. And we'll talk to you later on this week for the 1420 podcast. Thanks for tuning in to Foul Tips and spread the news about the show. Thank you very much and have a good night.